you wear a monocle when you make love to your wife, you've come to the right place. This is the Cream Spot. This is the Bro-hio podcast, not the Bro-hio. How many times have I been talking to someone? They'll say, "Hey, buddy, I listen to your podcast." And I say, "Oh, really? What's it called?" They say, "It's the Bro-hio podcast." I said, "You fake-ass motherfucker. You are trying to make this up just to be friends with me. I have enough friends. My wall is up. I don't need any more friends. I need people that care about me. They don't want to just use me for my suave looks.
I just need people to learn how to pronounce Bro-hio. I don't need you to be my friend. Just pronounce it right."
Yeah, I am the delicious Nickalicious.
Hey guys, I'm Rob Dog. How's everybody doing?
We're exploring the dark universe. Everything creepy, nasty, scary, bloody, murder, whatever it is. Aliens, monsters, demons, ghosts, urban legends, true crime, government cover-up, deep state. All of it.
Occasional poop stories.
A lot of those.
Lots of those.
I sent you a Snapchat this morning of poop.
Yeah.
That wasn't for me.
That's the best wake up.
You take one look at me and you're like, "That barrel-chested man probably did that to that toilet." I didn't. Yeah. I inherited that toilet like that. I went to it. I said, "Not the fucking day. Not today."
I've painted many of toilets that color.
Well, the thing is, I zoomed in for you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
There's spatter all over the porcelain.
It was speckled.
And then up on the toilet seat, it was all over the seat as well. So the shotgun, the bird shot hit the toilet seat as well.
It be like that sometimes, man. It
be like that. And special thanks to our friend Timo. He provided us with a bottle of Eagle Rare. I'm going through some things in my life right now. Most notably, my dog of 15 years, Ace. I got him when I was 18. He has lymphoma cancer. They said it's the end of the road. But he's got days, weeks left. Today was a bad day.
Was it? No, poor guy.
I'm going to be crossing, he's going to be crossing the Rainbow Bridge here in the next short amount of time.
I'm sorry.
I've cried so much that I can't cry over it anymore.
Right.
It's just fucking tough, man. Anytime you lose a pet. I got him when I was 18.
Yeah.
He's been with me through everything. So, I'm going to give him a proper send off when it's time. Hopefully I can keep it together. I won't be able to.
Yeah, it's going to be rough. I mean, 18, that's a long-ass time, man.
Yeah. Well, no, he's 15. I got him when I was 18.
No, I mean, that's what I meant, since you were 18. That's a long time.
Been with me through all the houses, the kids, the wife.
Right.
Me maturing.
He's your OG buddy, man.
Very little maturation there. Not a lot. But he's a good dude. He's border collie. They live a long time.
I'll say he's got a lot of miles on him.
Can't recommend a better breed.
Yeah.
So he'll be sailing off into the sunset soon enough. I'm not looking forward to it.
Yeah, I feel for you on that.
I'm a fucking wreck on the inside. But the show must go on.
And you got some Eagle Rare.
And I got some Eagle Rare. Well, let's save, first off, thanks to Charlie Scholes. Charlie Scholes. Show me your Scholes, Charlie. Thank you for your Patreon pledge.
And we're going to go back to the 80s for this one for Paul Winger.
Winger the Dinger. I remember him. I met him at the whiskey barn in Northridge where we grew up. Hell of a fucking die. He was there the night that I met Hurricane Bob.
Ah, mm-hmm. The lead singer of Winger was a gorgeous dude. I think that was Winger.
He was the guy with one arm.
That was Def Leppard.
Yeah, it's all the same, dude. It's all the same. You go back, you look at the Wikipedia, it's all the same. That shit, it all rolls together.
Just recycled members.
Emily Rourke. Roar, because you are Mrs. Rourke. Thank you, Emily, for the patron pledge.
I might say this one wrong, but it looks like Kennedy Warkinton.
Winkington. Jason Janus. Jason Hugh Janus.
Yeah.
Jason E. Janus. Thank you, buddy, for your Patreon pledge.
Sebastian Stan Lover 69.
Luke Hardman. You're living the hard life, Hardman. Thanks, Luke.
And thank you for this, our new patron, In Your Mom's Hole. Thank you, In Your Mom's Hole.
Preston L. Case, the third, not the second, not the fourth, the motherfucking third. Preston Case, you're the real one. You're the real one. Thank you for the patron pledge.
Self-sufficiency down under.
Oh, yeah.
Maybe a podcast?
Sounds like an instructional tutorial type deal. Kenneth, old Kenny.
Just how to hold your breath while you're eating pussy.
Oh, man. That's bad stuff right there, buddy.
Self-sufficiency down under. Hey.
Kenneth, we got to get fucking Rob out of here. Thank you, Kenneth.
What is that first name?
Asa or Asia? I don't know.
Yeah, it's Asa Gannon. Thanks, Assa.
Ass Cannon.
Ass Cannon.
Thank you, Mrs. Ass Cannon.
Ass Cannon.
Tiffany Ryan. Thank you, Tiffany, for the Patreon pledge.
Tyler Fry. Thank you very much, Tyler Fry.
Love your dish there at McDonald's, Mr. Fry. Tamika. Last but not least, Tamika. Thank you, Tamika.
You mean like French fries? Yeah.
You're, okay. You gotta be real. You gotta. You know, no one gets that last name and they don't come from the okay. French fry.
All right. Sure.
Okay.
I get it.
Last week we had on our show a retired ATF agent by the name of Lou. Lou was a amazing interview.
Awesome. Yeah, really good time.
And you can go back and listen to the episode with Lou Velosi. He provided tons of awesome content, but he's got a show of his own. And I told him I would play the promo, which we're not going to do it on the Facebook live stream because it would take a fucking act of God for me to line all that up.
To do what?
To play the promo.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
We're
going to
drop it in afterwards. But you guys can go check out End of Watch with Bootsy and Sal. That's the name of the podcast.
Cool.
They got a great show. Tons of great guests. They've got the leader of the Hells Angels on there, the former president. They got lots of people that were involved in fucking wild shit, man. So go check out End of Watch with Bootsy and Sal, and you can listen to that clip right now.
Welcome to End of Watch with Bootsy and Sal. I'm your host, Kevin Grogan, a.k.a. Bootsy.
And I'm Lou Velosi, a.k.a. Sal.
The two groups of law enforcement officers that see the most shit are homicide detectives and undercover agents. You're seeing the worst of people.
There's no crystal ball in Copland. And there's no trophy or no reward, or in most cases, no one's even going to say thank you or give you a handshake for it.
All those Hollywood guys and everything, the DiCaprios, the Mark Wahlbergs and all those guys, they play us. They pretend to do what we do.
The crime guns that we've taken off the street, how do you measure how many lives have been saved? With one gun that you bought in an undercover deal, how many lives could that gun have taken?
Having led troops, you know, the only thing I cared about in those situations, I wanted to make sure my guys were okay.
Doug Luckett, this guy, he's the enforcer, comes out right away and he says, we were looking for you motherfuckers. He goes, hey, you guys sit right here and my crew's on its way. He's like, we took a beating, man. I mean, I'm not saying that we didn't throw down and throw a few punches back, but we definitely, it was tough. We took a beating.
Within 15, maybe 20 minutes, you know, two SUVs passes at a high rate of speed. But before you knew it, we were right up on them. They lowered the windows with their AK-47s out, and they're screaming, pull over, pull over. And before you knew it, two guys came to my window. One of them introduced an AK-47 right here, right by my face, and a handgun. And then without notice, they just opened fire.
Some of the greatest undercovers I've ever worked with didn't have some crazy look. They just had crazy game.
The underpaid and unappreciated doing the unthinkable for the ungrateful. Every day, there's men and women. Their alarm clock goes off. They put their feet on the ground. They kiss their kids and their families goodbye with no promise that they're ever going to come back. And they go anyways to take care of us.
Amen.
If you can't respect that, then you can kiss my ass.
You know, I look at it, you know, when I go out of this world, if I can go out knowing I did just a little bit more good than I did bad, I'm okay with that.
End of Watch with Bootsy and Sal. Available on Apple Podcasts, YouTube, and more.
And we're back. We never left.
Just like that. What do you know?
The power of editing.
You did put your marker, right?
Yeah, it's in there somewhere. All
right, good deal.
Okay, now...
It's funny how this works, man. It's like you guys are seen behind the scenes. Until we forget to put it in there.
I don't even realize how good we are at this stuff.
Yeah. Seamless.
Okay. Next up, we have the Brohio Battlefield of Love.
Okay.
If you would like to join the Brohio Battlefield of Love, send us your submissions at brohiopodcast@gmail.com. We would like to answer all of the Earth's questions about love, passion. We're two guys. We love deeply. Ask our wives. We put it all in them. And by all, I mean give them lots of hugs, lots of kisses, lots of smooches. We know what it takes to be a sweetheart. And we know what it takes. We know what it takes to give you the advice that you need in the Brahio battlefield of love.
I feel like there's no two people that are better suited to answer your love questions.
We give really good smooches.
Two guys that have been married for 20 years.
And if you guys want to see us smooch, just start smashing that like button. Isn't that what the kids say?
Yeah.
Smash that like button. I fucking hate that saying so
much. I do too.
Okay.
The harder you smash it, the harder we smash. So
if you want to see us smash each other.
Yeah.
You don't have to do anything. Just stay on the line. Stay on the line.
OnlyFans.com/BroHioPodcast.
Okay. Well, here's our... You're going to get me in trouble.
No, it's okay.
Okay. After 25 years, my husband, whom is 50 years old...
Trade him in for a new model.
...has a 10.5-inch long penis.
Good Lord. Never mind. Don't. Stay with him.
Trade half of me.
Please.
Goes for 2 hours at a time. I got things to do. Dishes, yo. Fucking what? I got dishes to wash. I got laundry to fold. Crafts to do. And after 25 years, I still get sore.
God.
How do I get him off quicker? I have done everything. Sincerely, damn, my pussy hurts.
Wow. I've never had this problem, so I don't know how to answer this.
I slept with a guy with a 10.5-inch wiener one time. You are right. It hurts. I know what... a lot of ladies aren't going to like to hear this. But when my wife... She's trying to end it in under 20 seconds. It's all about the foreplay. Unfortunately. That and boobies.
Does it every single fucking time, man.
She hits me with her breasts.
Yeah.
Gets me going, too.
Yeah. Two hours at 50 years old. You know what?
He likes being shit on. That's my advice to you.
I think this man's a hero.
National treasure. Now, have you measured it? Is this how long he tells you it is? Because I know there's a lot of women out there that have only been with one guy their entire life, and they walk around like, oh, my husband's got a huge dick. Well, how do you know? It's the only one that you've ever seen.
True.
Beside your dog. Beside a dog dick.
That's relatable.
It is.
I guess, if that's what you're into.
Your dick doesn't look like a dog's dick?
Sometimes.
Sometimes? Okay. Do you have any advice for this person? Any usable advice?
No. Don't complain, my lady. Just lube that bad dude, lube that hog up and sit on it and be good.
There's tons of guys that would love to be in your spot.
Tons of guys.
I'm not talking about your husband. I'm talking about your spot.
Okay. Yeah.
Including Rob Diggity Dangle Dog.
Yeah, man. That's a hog right there.
All right.
Good for you.
Read this next one here.
Hey, you guys. Hang on. Let me meet my romance talk here. Or romance voice. I hope you all are doing well. Here are my questions. In pornos, what is the deal with all the spit? The guys spit in the girls' holes. Girls slobber over the guys' dicks. Girls spit in each other's mouths.
Oh my God.
What is the deal with that? Is that attractive to guys? Because it sure grosses me out. My other question is somewhat related. What is the deal with girls gagging themselves on a guy's dick?
Oh my God.
Is that attractive to you and other guys? Minus my husband, because he doesn't like it either. Question mark.
He doesn't like you.
Just like asking. It's another turnoff for me. Any insight you have to offer would be greatly appreciated. Thank you. Oh, she gave her full name. Dana Felton.
That might have been like a automatic signature thing from Google. So.
Oopsie, sorry. You just got outed.
You're out there, Dana.
Okay.
First off, we're going to get your husband some blue chews. But get him the help and the support that he needs. From there, we're going to figure out what the fuck is wrong with him. I'll go tell my wife right now, spit on me. Spit on me. Make it nasty. I want you to...
Loogie?
I want you to pull a loogie up from the 7th grade and...
Oh, God.
Dislocate it onto my chest. I don't care, man.
A big old Cadbury cream.
Yeah. What we do is she uses a spittoon all week.
Oh, yeah.
And then she dumps it on me. And
Copenhagen will do that, man.
No, just Kool-Aid.
Oh, okay, that does it too. Mountain Dew.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, I...
Get those big, big globs of spit you can touch the ground with and...
I don't... Dana, I'm sorry. Your husband has a sex drive of a potato.
Being... On the gagging thing, being... If you have that power to to make someone do that, hey, good for you. I don't have to worry about it.
I can gag myself. I stick my hand, all of it.
Yeah.
That's good stuff. Okay, last one here on the Brohio Battlefield of Love. Hey, guys, my wife got me some Scooby-Doo pajamas
Hell
for Christmas.
Yeah.
I've been wearing them in the house with no underwear on, and the tag has been going up my arse, and it feels really nice.
I love this.
Does this mean I'm now gay as I like things up my arse? Is it what? I think an arse is like a butthole in America.
Yeah, this person's from over the pond, it sounds like.
Anyway, yeah, love the show and hope to meet you one day. Okay, love from England, Les. Kisses, kisses.
I definitely wouldn't say that it makes you gay. I do like scratching my ass.
Mm-hmm. It's a nice little tickle.
If it feels real good, especially when you're nice and sweaty.
I can't imagine that feels good, Les. You're doing something wrong, buddy. That's not a tag up your ass. That's like a... Those are some special Scooby-Doo pajamas you got on right there, if you know what I'm saying.
It's a government-planted microchip to see if you're gay.
They're government pajamas!
The pajamas are turning them gay.
Yeah, you guys lost the European Cup over there, so you all fucking suck anyways. Which means nothing right now to us.
I don't even know what that sentence means.
But all the people in Great Britain and the UK, they are raging right now. Because they lost the European Cup. England did. They lost to Italy in fucking soccer. These people were rioting in the streets. They were setting one another on fire. They were punching children over soccer. So they're pretty upset over that, over there, over okay. right now, over the soccer. But maybe if their team was a little bit better, they wouldn't have that problem where they lose all the time.
You said they lost their cup, and I was thinking, like, man, is there only like one cup between the two states?
There is.
Or between two countries? They have to fight between carrying their beverage around?
That's how it works.
Okay.
And they have to have special cups because they all have buck teeth and it's hard to explain.
Yeah.
But you have to have a different cup if you have really buck teeth.
That makes sense.
Do you understand what I'm trying to say?
Yeah, I get you.
Okay.
It's one of, you have to have one of those, like how the measuring cups have the little lip to pour in.
Yeah.
You got to have those because you got to get your teeth in the pouring spout.
Well, it's almost like a picket fence and your teeth go between the pickets.
Ah,
and you need to drink back, and then you don't have to worry about anything flying out anywhere.
Okay,
you stick your teeth right between the pickets; nothing gets on you. I don't know what they drink over there—just unpasteurized milk or whatever the fuck they drink.
I think it's just tea,
mother's milk.
Yeah, know, mother's milk,
tea, kitten formula.
Yeah, I don't think they have like formula. I think it's just tea.
They don't have cats in England either.
Don't surprise me.
Fucking terrorists! I hate it. I'm just kidding. I love all you. I love all of you from England. Why, some of our stories tonight come from England.
Yay.
Couple really good ones in here. We're talking about being buried alive. And I know what you're thinking. You're thinking, okay, these guys are talking about premature burials, getting put in the ground. No. Actually, what we mean by being buried alive is we're talking about putting live animals in your ass.
Oh.
As you're like me, you've worked up to a ferret.
Like Jerry.
Just like Jerry Pauly.
Jerry Pauly trained him really well.
Bill Willie Horror Stories. Jerry can put four ferrets in his ass.
Man.
It's phenomenal. When the ferrets come out, there's nothing on them. They're just like, they're not even touching anything when they're in there. They're just in there playing.
They play his intestines like one of those tube houses.
Jerry said it feels good. He said, I love these ferrets, man. I said, that's fine.
Tracy likes the way it makes them purr.
Don't bring him to the live show. Speaking of that, we have a live show,
woo,
August 21st, woo, in Louisville, Kentucky.
Hell yeah.
If you do a little Google of Brohio Eventbrite, you're going to get the tickets to that. It's Hillbilly Horror Stories 5-year anniversary show.
And who are we with?
We're with We Drink and We Know Things.
Love them.
Bob from Tales from the Dark will be the MC that evening.
Hell yeah.
We're all going to be there.
It's going to be a good time.
We're going to have drugs for sale.
Come to Kentucky.
We're going to have heroin. We're going to do crack.
And I wonder why we got kicked off YouTube.
We're going to do crack.
In the parking lot.
We're going to do the microphones. Rob's going to put a... Rob's going to drop acid.
I'll fit this whole microphone up my ass. I don't care.
Doesn't matter. He'll do it. And you'll be there. So just come, guys. Tickets are like $20.
There's a price for everything, my friends.
Everyone has a price.
And mine is just reasonably lower than most people's.
You're absolutely right about that.
I like money. Money.
Well, we're talking about being buried alive. Some scary ass shit, dude.
That's terrifying.
How does it rank to you in terms of the scariest things in your fucking head?
Top three for sure.
Top three?
Yeah.
Not even fazed by it.
Really?
If I'm comatose enough that they think I'm dead, just put me in the box and get it over with. Unless I'm taking a hard ass fucking nap, and we'll get into it later on. In the early centuries, when this was happening to people all the time, you would have been put in a fucking casket on day one.
Sure. Yeah. I think I've always like, the scene in Kill Bill, it always bothers me, even though I know she's going to punch through the box. It's just, and I know it's a movie, but at the same time, I'm still like, oh God, I don't like it. Cause it gets so just hot and
yeah, it gets a hot.
You'd run out of air. Box. You'd freak out. They say people that have been buried alive, you pull up the casket and there's nail prints on.
Yeah, talk about all that.
I don't like it. It's creepy.
It's creepy stuff. Ugh. You're absolutely right. Wikipedia likes to call it premature burial.
Sure.
Live burial. Burial alive. And vivisepulture.
Ooh, that's a fancy name.
That's a dirty fucking word.
That's a metal band name right there.
In earlier centuries, it was a form of execution and torture.
That's just fucked up.
It wasn't, you're thinking buried alive. You're thinking these people are getting put in the ground by accident.
Yeah.
In some cultures, this was a way to torture someone for doing some bad shit.
Man.
It was also a means of execution. Just chop my head off.
So did they torture them with the intent of them just dying in there, or did they leave them in there for a day and then take them out?
No, they just left them in there to die.
Okay, so murdered them.
We'll talk about that as well.
Cool.
It can ultimately lead to asphyxiation, dehydration, starvation, and hypothermia. If you are put in the ground for a live burial,
mm-hmm.
and you make it to the point of starvation, you're the real motherfucker, because... asphyxia doesn't take you down, the dehydration doesn't, the starvation does,
and
you were down there for a long fucking time.
I think I'm fat enough to die from starving to death.
Shitting in your own box down there.
I'm used to eating like every like 3 hours.
Yeah.
Like, fuck, I'm hungry.
Yeah, they'd bury my ass like 20 feet and I'd come up, you know, an hour later.
Just like the Undertaker.
I gotta get some ding-dongs and shit and I'm going back down. And
busting out of that coffin.
Y'all ain't gotta kill me, I'm just fucking starving. A person trapped with fresh air to breathe can last a considerable time, and burial has been used as a very cruel method of execution, as in the cases of the Vestal Virgins who
Ooh.
Violated the oath of celibacy, and we'll talk about them in a moment, lasting sufficiently long for the victim to comprehend and imagine every stage of what is happening. So think about this psychological fucking trauma you're about is about to happen to you. You're in the ground, okay? You're buried alive. And it gets to the point where it's so dark, there's such limited space down there, that your mind doesn't even know what's happening to you. Start to freak the fuck out.
Okay, you wouldn't.
Are you buried alive? Are you stuck in somebody's butt?
Did you ever see that Ryan Reynolds movie where he was buried alive?
Did you fall into the cat box? No, I've never seen that movie.
It's pretty good.
Really?
It's one of those one movies, kind of like Phone Booth, where it just literally takes place in one fucking location. It's just literally just him buried alive.
Box.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. But right. I think it was Ryan Reynolds. I might be wrong, but it was all right.
People will let us know if we're wrong.
Yeah, for what it was. It was
they
good.
They always do. This is going to cause great psychological and physical torment, including extreme panic. The medical term for the fear of being buried alive as taphophobia,
ooh,
which you would think is the fear of tapioca pudding.
Oh, God.
Which is real.
Yes, it is.
Taphophobia is the fear of being buried alive.
Salute Your Shorts fucked me up on that one.
Tapioca is like swallowing a mouthful of maggots.
Yeah, every time I think of tapioca, I think of Salute Your Shorts. There's fish eyes in the tapioca. And then you see Ugg dumping out a spoon of it, and there's fish eyes in it.
I love tapioca pudding. Man.
I used to when I was younger, man.
I used to put it in my underwear and go to school and tell people I was fucking sick so I could go home and shit.
You just take a handful of it out, put it in your mouth, and just puke it up.
Earlier this week, I got a friend request from our old art teacher in high school, and she was like I think I've told the story before, but she was a rookie that year.
Mm-hmm.
And she was kind of really standoffish with me because I was an ass clown, and she kind of kept me at arm's length, and I was trying to break the ice.
So I took a bunch of pudding at lunch and I put it, I had white boxer briefs on.
Wait, which schools or which?
High school. It was the oh. new, it was the new art teacher whenever we were older. You remember her?
Yeah, I do. Okay. Fuck yeah, I ain't forgetting her.
I put a bunch of pudding in my white boxer briefs and yeah. she was coming back from her lunch and we were on our lunch. She's like, hey, Nick. And I'm like, She's like, what's wrong? I don't want to talk about it. She's like, no, no, are you okay? What's wrong? It's her job to care about me
yeah.
and make sure I'm not about to kill myself. And I said, I think I had an accident. I think I had an accident. I'm like a senior in high school or something. To tell her.
Like a little kid?
Yeah. She's like, what do you mean? I'm like, oh, God. And I turned around. I pulled my gym shorts down, and there's a big fucking mud mark down my butt crack. But she knew right away that it was not poop, that it was pudding.
She was like the sweetest person, too.
She ran so fast away from me. I did not suffer any recourse at all from that. I did not get in trouble. Flash forward like a year later, they're doing a fundraiser for the high school, doing a car wash.
Nick was a senior 2 years in a row, if he didn't. He said a year later after he said he was a senior.
No, I was out of school at this point.
Okay, and well, there you go. Yeah, there you go.
It was in McDonald's parking lot. They're doing a car wash. Oh, I pulled my whip up. She's like, hey, Nick. And I'm like, oh, hey there, what's up? And she's like, should have nailed you to the wall when you did that with your underwear. She was mad about it. She's like, I talked to my husband. We prayed about it. You know, she's a religious lady.
I didn't know that. Was she?
She said, I talked to my husband, and I was really upset about that. I was like, it's just a fucking joke. A fucking joke.
I'm not even going to say the joke that we did in her class. fuck, man.
But
it's one of my favorite stories, but I won't say
here. She's still, she's cool. She's cool now.
Yeah.
She's over it.
Good.
I told her, I said, hey, you fucking bitch. It was just pudding. Just pudding in my underwear.
You just willingly dumped pudding in your underwear.
Oh, I was like at lunch, so I went the rest of the day with pudding in my underwear.
Yeah, let me say, like, it's justifying. In fact, it was like, well, who wouldn't do it?
Just a little bit of pudding.
It's just a little bit of pudding. You and like, you give any of a snack for later.
Exactly. You like pudding? I like putting my balls inside your butt, if you want to do that. Now, we talked briefly about the Vestal Virgins.
Yeah.
The Vestal Virgins were a college of priestesses. Those are like male priests, but they have breasts and vaginas.
Yeah, that was our nicknames.
Who served Vesta, the Roman goddess of the hearth. One of the most important duties of these priestesses was the tending of the perpetual fire at the Temple of Vesta. This fire represented Vesta's protection of the city, and the dying of the sacred flame was regarded as a terrible omen.
Ooh.
Given that the Vestal Virgins were responsible for the well-being of Rome, they were granted extraordinary privileges. On the other hand, a Vestal Virgin who neglected her duties would be punished. Breaking one's vow of chastity was one of the most serious crimes that a Vestal Virgin could commit and is regarded as tantamount to treason.
It's crazy.
One punishment for Vestal Virgins who committed this crime was immurement, which was to be buried alive.
Just for wanting to get a nut bust.
Just for riding on the ding dong. You trying to ride on the ding dong later or what?
Not if it means I'm going to be buried alive.
You got you over the thing. You're like, at the beginning of the episode, he told me he had a dog dick, and I don't know if I believe him or not. I want to see if he really had a dog dick or not.
Yeah, you had me in the dog. You had me with dog dick, and you lost me with the mirrorment.
You had me at doggy style. And there's been a long history of. You said before. You said, is there any evidence of they just leave him there, or is it like a dunk tank? They put their head in there for a little bit and bring him out,
like waterboarding. Yeah,
there's a lot of instances through archaeological history where they've discovered people behind walls. They just tear a fucking wall down to find somebody, and they've obviously, it looked like they might have put up a fight, but they weren't just thrown in there. They're alive, and they put them behind these sealed walls. Let them die. Just let them fucking go. And one of the creepiest things I found about this one's so weird. Buddhism is such a weird culture for me. They do a lot of strange stuff, but this one nearly takes the case. This is kind of known as self-mummification.
Okay.
If you're down with that.
Sure, let's see.
Sure. The best known examples of self-mummified Buddhist monks are perhaps those from Japan, where they are called Soke Shinbutsu, meaning a Buddha in this very body.
That was really good.
Thank you.
You did good on that.
I practiced that
Not once, not twice, not at all. I did not practice that.
That was really good.
According to an article from 2016, there are 16 known Soka Shinbutsu in Japan. Only 16.
That's wild.
Though it is believed that there are many more yet to be discovered. It is thought that these monks mummified themselves in an attempt to imitate Kukai, the 8th, 9th century Japanese monk who founded the Shingon school of Buddhism. Although Kukai is recorded to have died in 835 AD, long before, you know, you and I are rocking and rolling.
Oh, yeah.
Legends suggest otherwise. Mm. According to legend, the monk did not die, but entered a state of meditative trance called Nyunjo. Yojo. You think I got that right, or you think that's wrong?
That's such a hard word.
Oh, my.
Nyojo.
Nyojo.
Nyojo. N-Y-U-J-O. Nyojo.
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 Pronounce that. Pronunciation. Nyojo.
We probably sound.
Google can't even pronounce the motherfucker for us. All right. Nyojo. The legend goes on to state that Kukai plans to emerge from his suspended animation in about 5.67 million years when he would, quote, usher a predetermined number of souls into nirvana.
Come as you are. As you are.
I hate Nirvana, man.
Man, some of it. I like Nirvana.
The best part about fucking Nirvana is Dave Grohl.
Oh, okay.
Second part was that fucking
shotgun.
I thought you were
going to say the shotgun.
Damn it. Stop it. No.
Entertain us. We're stupid. Undertake us.
I don't like that song, but. Oh, man. They do have a lot of good songs, though.
They're okay. I don't hate him. I'm not glad he's dead. I wish his fucking wife would have died. I wish he was still alive.
Yeah, Courtney Love's a menace.
I didn't mean that. The first recorded example of a Japanese monk attempting self-mummification, however, is from 1081. Oh, good thing they kept fucking record of that shit. A monk by the name of Shojin tried to follow in the footsteps of Kukai and had himself buried alive. When his disciples came to retrieve his body, however, they found that it had begun to rot.
Oh, okay. Makes sense.
Oh, it took the Japanese monks years of trial and error before they found the perfect way to mummify themselves.
Imagine how many people died while they were trying to make themselves into mummies.
My turn. I try this time.
This process took at least 3 years, and at the heart of it was the Mongun Chingin Goingo. What the fuck?
That just sounded racist.
Moku Jikigyo, which translates to meaning tree eating training.
The way he said it. Moku Jikigyo.
Instead of simply starving themselves to death, the monks would subsist on things they could forage on the mountain. This took 1,000 days, after which the monk would be spiritually prepared to enter Ninjo. Nyojo.
Nyojo.
Most monks, however, are known to have undergone 2 or even 3 rounds of this process. Biologically speaking, the we'll call it the Moku, serves to rid the body of fat, muscle, and moisture as well.
Sign me up. As
to cut off nutrients from the body. You would fucking die, dude. As well as to cut off nutrients from the body's parasites and bacteria. Both effects would help to preserve the body from decay after death. The monk would then reduce all food intake and drink only a limited amount of water for the next 100 days.
Oh, hell no.
In the monk's final days, his disciples would lower him into a box in a 10-foot-deep pit. A bamboo airway was inserted through the lid, and the monk buried alive.
That's 10 foot is 3 meters for those of you who don't measure in freedom.
Three meters for all you people that just lost that soccer match.
That don't measure in freedom.
The monk would continue his meditation, and the regular ringing of a bell indicated that he was still alive. So deep under the ground, 10 feet underground, starving, hundreds of days of malnutrition, thousands and thousands upon hours of meditation.
Man.
He would continuously ring the bell to let everyone up above know that he was still alive.
At least they gave him the bell.
Yeah.
Like, oh, shit, we forgot the bell.
Yeah, don't eat it, fat boy. When the ringing stopped, the monk's disciples would open the tomb to confirm their master's death, remove the bamboo airway, and rebury the tomb. After 1,000 days, the body would be disinterred so that it could be determined if the monk had truly become a Soku Shinbutsu. If no signs of decay are found, the monk would be declared a true Soku Shinbutsu and enshrined forever.
That's so fucking weird.
There's pictures of him, and there's like one dude. He's sitting there all fucking mummified. They got sunglasses on him. You know, he's just chilling.
It's like fucking Weekend at Bernie's.
Yeah, man. He's just chilling there. He's, you know.
They're just like shadow boxing with him and
he
shit.
He looks like a good ass piece of Jack Link's beef jerky is what he looks like.
Oh my gosh.
Let's see here. Shouldn't so. Oh yeah, look at him. All mummified with the sunglasses on.
He does
shit.
Have sunglasses.
He's got Ray-Bans, man.
He has fucking pit vipers.
Oh my gosh. That's a Shinbotsuki right there. Shitty Shinbotsuki. Man, they put me down that box. They'd close off that fucking bamboo tube, and as soon as they started smelling my farts,
I was
going to
say, can you imagine?
I'd be like, hey, I'm going to send up a really important message. Everyone gather around the tube.
If only they could hear that one.
Okay, master. What do you have to say?
Just rip a big hairy fart right into that bamboo trap.
You know they're like waiting on every like word. You
just pouring Quikrete down that motherfucker.
You just put your asshole right up to the bamboo.
Have you ever farted in a cone like in somebody's face before? It's
no, I haven't.
It really amplifies the smell of the fart.
I'm sure it does. Because
the thing about a fart is you're used to taking it in at 10, 12 feet away from the person's rectum.
Yeah.
If you have a way to direct the vortex directly to their nose from the exit of your bunghole, it really intensifies the smell by 1,000%.
I'll tell you what also does that, and I've done this plenty of times, is shitting in a hot vehicle. Now, and then closing the door, then you come back later and it's fucking still there times 10.
What about farting in a hot shower?
That's just as bad too, because then it gets moist.
Dude, you can hold it up and take a bite of it like an apple. What are you eating in there?
You bite into it, it just goes, it just doesn't crunch.
I'm eating one of my fucking farts. I'm eating a dad fart.
It's so stupid.
I'm right, though, man.
This is like the lowest form of comedy, but it's still funny.
It's right. I'm right. It's you get a thick cream like a fucking McDonald's milkshake, and you fart in the shower, dude.
Yeah, you're right.
If you've ever farted in the shower and taken a bite, send us an email, brohiopodcast@gmail.com. We'd love to hear your encounter. We'd love to interview you. So if you would, just reach out, brohiopodcast@gmail.com. We are the ones you want to talk to. We will get your story out to the world.
The world.
The world.
Extra, extra. Fart eater on the Bro Ohio podcast.
Have you ever farted in the shower? I don't know if it gets any more horrific than what we just talked about with the bunks and the Shimizu Shinbutsuki, the Mitsubishis.
Jerry Pauly wants to know when we're going to make out.
No, I'm not saying it. I'm not.
That's a surprise for you to find out. We don't want you to just see the make out and just leave.
Why don't you suck on my dick like a bong rip, Jerry?
How are those ferrets?
Yeah, listen to the beginning of the episode, Jerry. Let's see what we can do about talking about anything more horrific.
Sure, let's go.
Being buried alive was a real problem in the 18th century. And I told you this. This shit was a real fucking problem.
Mm-hmm.
Medical practices weren't really up to par, so people were getting buried alive left and right. So to help ease the question of whether a person was dead or alive, the practitioners, the doctors, would participate in two different things. They would either grab and twist your nipples.
Oh, man.
They thought I was dead, and they did that to me. I go, fuck.
You give one of these.
We were checking to see if he was dead and he ejaculated.
All he came
to. Yeah. All it took was us twisting on his nipples. Why am I? They're from the 18th century. They're not getting ready to board the Titanic in 1910.
For real.
He thought he was dead and we grabbed him on the nipples and he cummed.
He cummed.
Their wieners were a lot smaller back then, too.
You would think.
We would have fit right in. Guys like us, we would have fit in so well. We could have been time travelers. They would have said, who are you? Where'd you come from? Show us your dick. And we disrobe, and they're like, okay, they're from the 18th century. They can stay. They can hang
out. You belong here, my friend.
Move along. So one of two things, they would grab and pinch or twist your nipples.
God.
Fuck. Or they would
Daddy.
Take
And what the? Oh, daddy.
Brohiopodcast@gmail.com. Send us your safe word.
Oh, that's a good one.
Mine's mashed potatoes.
Mine's fucking harder. Harder, pussy.
My wife's like, I thought you were hungry. I'm like, I'm always fucking hungry.
Mashed potatoes.
And the second practice is they'd take a hot iron prod and they would shove it into your rectum.
Yeah, I'm okay on that.
Oh, well, they call it a smoking hot poker iron.
Pinch my nipples, please.
If you flinch, you live. If you didn't flinch, you were either dead or that was just your fucking kink.
Oh, man. I don't kink shame.
I keep on checking to see if he's dead and his wiener keeps getting harder and harder.
If you like having smoking hot pokers shoved up your rectum, send us an email, brohiopodcast@gmail.com.
The doctor's like, that's just rigor mortis. Bury him. Let him go. So to help, yeah. Hello, and I have some very good news for all of you. The deals at HelloFresh keep getting better and better this time, guys. It's 14 free meals. That's why they're always going to be America's number one meal kit. HelloFresh cuts out stressful meal planning and grocery store trips with less prep, less effort, and minimal cleanup so you can enjoy cooking and get dinner on the table in just about 30 minutes. HelloFresh's produce gets, they get it straight from the farm to your door in less than a week, which means fresh, high-quality ingredients. HelloFresh presented us with some fantastic dishes, the pork teriyaki bowl. It's got a little bit of kiwi in there. It's got a little bit of sauce. This is some of the most delicious stuff I have ever tried. And again, guys, a very big deal this time, bigger than all the other times. This is free food, and it's going to come straight to your door. And I promise, reach out if you need me to solidify any of this. This is some of the best dinner that you'll ever be able to throw together. It'll be anything that you can do in a pinch. But go to HelloFresh.com/Brohio14. That's a new code. And use the code Brohio14 for up to 14 free meals plus free shipping. It's free food and it is legit free. I repeat, again, go to HelloFresh.com/Brohio14. Use the promo code Brohio14 for up to 14 free meals plus free shipping. America's number one meal kit. Let's go to this first story. I'll let you take this. This is a really good one. This is insurance fraud. We'll call this story Parlez-vous Francois.
Sure.
Did you take French at all?
I took 2 years in middle school.
Yeah. Parlez-vous Francois. Don't even know what that means, but I know it means something.
Okay.
Do you speak French?
No.
Okay. I think that's what it means.
It does. Parlez-vous Francais. This. Oh, okay.
Francois. All right. I don't speak Spanish.
I don't speak Spanish.
I don't do that freaky deaky Dutch.
Baxter, you know I don't speak Spanish. In 1937, a 19-year-old from France named Angelo Hayes went for a motorcycle ride. Perhaps he had minimal knowledge of how to operate such a vehicle because he ended up crashing it and slamming headfirst into a brick wall, which is, I think, the number one rule you don't want to do when driving a motorcycle.
Yeah.
When help arrived, they found Hayes' head was mangled and he had no pulse. He was so terrible to look at that his parents were kept from seeing him for their own good. Hayes was declared dead and buried 3 days later. So due to an investigation by the insurance company, the body of Angelo Hayes was exhumed 2 days after the funeral. It was quite the surprise to find that his body was still warm.
Like apple pie.
Oh, God. Apparently, in the aftermath of the accident, the body put itself into a deep coma and required very little oxygen to upkeep his system. After being buried alive, Hayes received proper medical care and went to make a miraculously full recovery. He then invented a type of security coffin that he toured across France. It was reported to contain a small oven, a refrigerator, and a hi-fi cassette player. Only the necessities.
Oh my God. Check this out. He hits play.
What is he cooking in there, though?
Cherry pie. Cool, make a pretty, make a sweet surprise. Get so good, make a grown man cry. Sweet cherry pie. That's what I would want playing inside my casket. The fucking Whitesnake or Warrant all day long.
So do they preemptively put you in the ground with food so that you can cook in the oven.
We gotta give him a couple of these Tonys because he's gonna get hungry down there.
What do you want on your tombstone?
Yeah.
Fucking pizza.
Yeah, put a DiGiorno in there under his butt.
I mean, are you hacking off limbs and cooking them?
God rest his soul. Everyone keep your nose away from the bamboo shoot. He's been farting through that thing for 2 weeks. He might not be dead down there. A refrigerator.
That's crazy.
What if you go through all that trouble of like trying to fucking live and not die, and you buy this casket, got all these sweet amenities, and then you get down there, you're buried, and you open the refrigerator, and it's full like Yoplait or some fucking shit like that.
Fucking like off-brand yogurt.
Jell-O. It's just got Jell-O fucking cups. Hot Pockets.
Oh, man.
How long could you live off of Hot Pockets?
Surprisingly long.
For the rest of my goddamn life.
Right. That's what I practically live off now.
Yeah. They're good. Talk about something fucking bad for
you. Pizzas are pretty much as Hot Pockets, but just, you know, those are just smaller condensed forms.
I'll have mine folded up, please.
Right.
Fold that motherfucker up. Next up, we have Octavia Smith. She definitely had 8 fingers on each hand. I don't know that for sure.
Wait. On the topic of Hot Pockets, here's the real question. Bagel bites or pizza rolls? This is the hard hitting questions here.
I mean, which one do I like better if I had to pick one for the rest of my life?
Yeah, get rid of one of them. You only have one left.
It's so hard.
That's what she said.
I'm probably going to go with pizza rolls.
Yeah, there you go. My guy. There's only one right answer.
Pizza rolls it is.
Yeah.
You put sour cream on them, which is good. Ranch, hot sauce. You can dip them in marinara sauce.
Bagel bites is too much bread for me.
Bagel bites will incinerate your mouth. That's no matter how cold you let them get.
Yeah.
It will fuck you up, man.
And that cheese never melts.
No, it doesn't. What is that shit?
It just gets hot.
It's like fucking space cheese.
Yes, it is. It really is.
It's from under cheese. It's smegma. Oh. It is fucking. What is that?
Smegma. It's not real cheese, I can tell you that
Dude,
much.
It's just little squares that just...
It does not melt.
We're still trying to figure out what causes cancer. Well, why don't you try with the fucking cheese on top of bagel bites, for starters?
Just don't eat bagel bites.
That
you're good.
Shit. Oh, man. Octavia Smith. In 1889, Octavia Smith married a wealthy Kentuckian by the names of James Hatcher.
I see what you did.
The newlyweds had a son whom they named Jacob.
However,
infant mortality rates being what they were in the late 1800s, Jacob died in infancy.
He was just
a baby. Losing a son put Octavia in a deep depression, and she was bedridden for several months. During this time, she also began showing signs of a mysterious illness.
You're talking like a plantation owner.
That's not nice, Rob.
Well, I mean,
I was talking like I owned a KFC franchise. Was what I was shooting for.
Like I said.
But whatever.
Like I said.
Eventually, her body entered a coma-like state and nobody could awaken her. She was pronounced dead in May of 1891, just 4 months after Jacob died.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. It was an unusually hot May that year. She was stinking. And so Octavia was buried quickly. Embalming was not yet common practice. But a few days later, others in the town began falling into a similar coma-like sleep with shallow breathing patterns, only to awaken a few days later. They discovered it was an illness caused by the bite of the tsetse fly. What is a tsetse fly? The titty fly. What is that? What tsetse fly? I gotta look that one up too, Rob.
Is that like a gnat? Gnats are really annoying, so I can understand that.
Tsetse.
Wait, say it again?
Google play.
Tsetse.
It's a tsetse fly.
Are those like the candles that middle-aged white women try to sell?
Yeah, they are. Color street nails. I got a really nice nail. The fucking...
A scentsy fly?
Those ladies that roll down, they got a SUV with all the stickers on the back. They got fucking It Works wraps. They got the color
thing?
Street nails. They got Tupperware. They got fucking dildos. They sell all the shit to you.
They got fucking dildos.
Yes, I'm not in the mood for Tupperware today. I'd rather have a big fucking black dick to shove in my ass.
Yes, please.
Yes, please.
Sign me up for that.
Bonus points if you got any purple or pink ones in there.
One shaped like a dog dick.
You need some nails, bitch? I got you for that, too. Boss mama. Get fucking real.
Need some
for
nails?
All of you fucking women out there.
A remote control butt plug. Which one do you want?
I really take it easy. I think women are just a wonderful gift from God. They do a lot for us men. They're incredible to our families. But for you fucking women out there, they're putting your husband through the torturous fucking hell of selling this pyramid scheme bullshit. It's costing you fucking hundreds of dollars every month.
You're so passionate.
You keep on inflicting this hell upon him. Stop doing that shit to him. You're never going to get fucking rich doing that shit. Find a job doing medical fucking billing from home. Quit selling nails and dildos and coffee. It's never going to fucking work. If you got to drive around with six business names on the back of your fucking Honda Odyssey, the shit's not going to work. I promise, Rob.
Jesus Christ.
No matter how many dildos you can pack in that van, you're not going to sell all of them, enough of them, to support your family. You keep on telling your husband, oh, one day I'm going to sell enough nails that I can stay home and suck your dick all day. You're never going to be able to sell that many fucking Color Street nails, that many fat-burning milkshakes. It's a lie. It's a fucking mirage. It's a phantom.
We hit a fucking nerve, man. You just fucking went in on all these poor women just trying to develop a pyramid scheme.
Boss mama. Hashtag. It's boss mama. Selling hot pockets and dildos. Pampered chef.
Oh, man.
Smoothie maker. Oh.
You were so mad.
You don't have a smoothie? I got the smoothie maker. I can smell you a smoothie, too. Oh, you're constipated from the smoothie? Oh, I can sell you a fucking butt plug to jam up your ass to jar it all loose so you can poop it all out. Oh, you poop too much? I got body wraps to help tighten and tone and firm. Here we are, driving around, going to pick the kids up some Dairy Queen. Can't even see out my back goddamn window because all my Color Street nails.
Oh, your decals.
Yeah. Get a real fucking job.
Just start an OnlyFans.
Or just love your family. Passionately love. You know what? At the end of this, here's if it works for you and you're taking good care of your family, do your fucking thing.
How long do you think it is before we get OnlyFans decals for people's cars? I feel like it's right around the corner.
It's coming. Just people.
Literally.
Yeah. It's coming.
Hey.
Yeah. So that's the hill I'm going to die on. If it makes you happy and it works for you and yours, don't listen to what I have to say.
Yeah, it doesn't matter. Just do it. Do what makes you happy.
Even though when you fall asleep at night, your fucking husband is crying himself to sleep, thinking about all the time and money you're wasting on this stuff. But neither here nor there.
I made $100 last month selling dildos. Oh, my auto renews was $450, but I sold 100 of them dildos. Doesn't work for me, Rob.
Yeah, I'm sure being a female and getting one of those like friend requests from someone you haven't talked to since like middle school, and they get a message, and all of a sudden it's like, "Hey, pretty lady."
Yeah. Hey, boss mama.
What are you doing? Mm-hmm. You interested in making blah blah blah? Like it's like, oh man, fuck this.
Yeah, I don't think it's a good idea.
Yeah,
that's what I'm going to leave it at. So this lady's attacked by a fucking titty fly.
Sure.
That's where I was at.
Let's get back to that titty fly.
Fearing that she had been buried alive, James, her husband, panicked and had Octavia exhumed, thinking she might awaken.
Aww.
She had. Oh. James was too late.
Man.
Octavia's coffin was airtight. He found the coffin lining had been shredded and Octavia's fingernails were bloody. On her face was frozen a contorted shriek of terror. A traumatized James reburied Octavia, because what else would you do with a dead fucking body, and erected a lifelike monument of her that sits in the cemetery she rests in. Historian Jessica Forsyth notes that James went on to develop a severe phobia of being buried alive, and who would not?
Yeah.
Some fucking shit right there, Rob Dog.
Yeah, I definitely feel like I would, too.
This doesn't scare me. I used to be super terrified of dying in general, but I've kind of come to grips with one day it all runs its course, my friend.
Yeah.
Just don't bury me. Please cremate my fat ass. Even if you have to use two ovens, cremate my ass.
Josh Dillon said something that I totally agree with, and he says, yeah, we need a segment on what grinds Nick's gears. That could be a whole episode. And they said that could be literally a whole episode.
I hope I didn't alienate anybody from this podcast. Like, go back and polish that one up a little bit.
No, no, it's okay.
Just let it ride.
Let it ride, man.
Let it roll.
You got to stand by what you say. I was like, that was a passionate speech.
I don't even remember what I said. I was so upset that I take back everything I said.
I fucking hate those baby on board signs. Fucking hate them. I don't know why.
It just makes me want to put them into a wall.
I just think it's the nerdiest thing, and it never makes me want to pit maneuver anybody more than whenever I see that shit.
Baby on board.
I just want to hit your fucking rear quarter panel and spin your ass out.
Yeah. That and... No, okay. I won't get into it. But
No. Go ahead. Go ahead.
Truck nuts.
Oh, fuck yeah.
Hey, bud, man, face that fucking nice truck. You go down the goddamn road. You got a big old set of balls on the back of your truck.
Passive aggressive mud flaps do that to me, too.
That is the dumbest fucking shit. Nothing screams, I got a horribly small dick, than the fact you got a huge set of testicles hanging off the back of your truck.
Have you seen that they have truck nuts for, fuck, what are those stupid ass shoes? Crocs. Yes.
I know.
They have croc nuts.
Croc nuts. That's what I have is croc nuts. If you have croc nuts, send us an email, brohiopodcast@gmail.com.
Anywho.
If you got truck nuts, go fucking drive off a bridge. Those are stupid, too.
Yeah, they are dumb.
Tell your wife to close up the businesses. Turn off the Color Street auto renewal.
Damn it.
Let it all go.
Stephen Small. Let's go ahead and get into Stephen Small here. So one night in the year of our Lord Nick Alexander, 1987, a 39-year-old Illinois businessman named Stephen Small received a phone call that one of his renovation projects was being broken into.
It's okay if I do Amazing Grace in the background. Like,
sure. Yeah, go for it, man. He didn't realize that by going into the property, he was being lured into his own abduction. So his wife, Nancy Smalls, received a call at 3:30 a.m., informing that the ransom on her husband was $1 million. Wow. That's a high ransom.
If you or I were ever captured, it'd be like, $350, you can have him back. And that's only because we're keeping the podcast, the studio, that we're taking the microphones and stuff.
20 bone-in wings. My final offer.
I do it.
Don't fuck with them boneless.
Yeah. Fuck.
So the family received 5 calls in total and were willing to comply with the demands. Only they couldn't understand them because of the poor sound quality of the messages. Not like the superior sound quality of this podcast.
Yeah.
Where Steven was during this time in the homemade box, wood box about... Wait, did I skip a spot?
I don't even know.
Did I?
Where?
No, that's it. Where Stephen was during the time was in a homemade wood box about 3 feet underground. His abductors provided him with a flimsy breathing tube and some water, suggesting that they intended to let him live if they got the payment. But something happened that they maybe didn't plan on. Stephen's breathing tube failed. Oops. His one failsafe, and it's fucking failed.
They didn't give him a real straw. It was just a giant one of them fucking Fun Dip straws. full Fun Dip.
It was one of the ones you're supposed to put in, like, one of the Twix straws you're supposed to put in milk. It just got soggy and covered in spit.
Licorice.
It just collapsed.
Have you ever taken a Twizzler and bit off each end and then drank a Sprite through it?
I haven't, but I've bit off the ends and just, like...
Never mind. We don't have to go there.
I won't say what I did with that, but... When police finally used their air patrol to find Small's vehicle, it was too late. They couldn't pinpoint how long he'd been inside the box, but they did deduct that he'd been dead for several hours. His abductors, Daniel J. Edwards, who's 30 years old, and Nancy Rish the Bish, aggravated kidnapping. I'm sorry, they were convicted of first-degree murder and aggravated kidnapping. They planned it. Said Kanaki deputy. I don't know if I pronounced that right.
Probably nailed it, buddy.
Kankle cookie. Deputy Chief Robert Pepin. They build a box. They put a ventilation system in.
Guilty.
And it didn't work.
It didn't work. He fucking died.
They just used like a fucking pool noodle.
They left all the Fun Dip in the straw. It's
a pool noodle and filled it with Jell-O.
Couldn't breathe. He died. $1 million ransom. Womp, the womp. Family said, all right, we'll pay the ransom to get the dude back. He was gone. He was already dead.
Man, I feel so bad for my family if someone gives me an extraordinary bond. Just, they're like, an amount like $1 million to for my life because they know I'm going to die.
Well, that's why they, if like someone abducted me and they're like, we want $350,000.
Yeah.
My financial ineptitude is what's caused me to not have $350,000 fucking dollars.
That's right.
I've got like $3 in the bank, you know, and they're like, oh, I guess he's gonna die.
Yeah.
You know, or maybe they just let me go because I'm handsome and charismatic and friendly.
Yeah, I mean,
who knows? Let's find out.
You'd have to charm them.
I would. I would charm the pants off of them.
You'd have to.
I would say, I would start off with a joke. I would say, hey, did you hear about the Mexican train robber? And they would be like, no. And I would be like, yeah, because he had locomotives. And they would say, that's not a fucking good joke at all. Kill this motherfucker. Kill this fat fuck.
Take out his breathing tube.
Take out the fun dip.
Fill his breathing tube with tapioca.
Now, this next story is good because it comes by way of Dayton, Ohio.
Mm.
This lady was actually buried in Woodland Cemetery.
Oh, shit. No way.
In downtown Dayton, yeah.
Nice.
This is Anna Hochwalt. Most of what can be gleaned from this unfortunate case is from a newspaper article dating back to 1884. Kentucky's Hickman Courier reported that a young lady by the name of Anna Hochwalt was dressing for her brother's wedding and sat down to rest in the kitchen. When someone checked in on her for a few minutes later, she was still there, her head leaning against the wall and apparently lifeless, the paper reported. Medical aid arrived, and the doctor assumed she was dead when he couldn't revive her. Anna's generally nervous nature and the fact that she suffered from heart palpitations was the flimsy cause of death. However, this assumption didn't sit well with some of Anna's friends, who thought her ears still looked pink.
Oh, okay.
As though blood was flowing through them. Anna was buried the next day, and her friends told her parents of the earlier observation. They said, she's not dead. She's still got red fucking ears. Get her out of there. Of course, this perplexed her parents to the point of having her dug back up. They found the worst case scenario. Anna's body was turned onto its side, fingers gnawed almost to the bone, and her hair had been torn out of her skull by the handfuls. And I do believe there's a statue above her grave at Woodland Cemetery here in Dayton. So we go check that out. That's a really fucking creepy cemetery.
Yeah, it really is.
We should do a live show from there. Go up there at night. We'll get arrested, though. I would get someone. I have
Maybe we can get a pass. I have a city pass.
Cup of water, ass. One night in jail, they would blow my shit to smithereens.
Yeah.
They would say, he's getting fucked the first night.
Yeah, I'd end up with Kool-Aid on my lips real quick.
Yeah, they would turn my butt into a bologna sandwich right now.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
Those bologna sandwiches are brutal.
You ever shoved a bologna sandwich in your ass?
Me, no.
No. Me neither. We should try it, though.
I mean, I'm not against it. I do love bologna.
Last night, I'm still trying to eat better and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Got kind of late. Didn't have many dinner options. She said, what do you want for dinner? I said, I just won't eat. I'm good. I'll pass tonight. I'll give me a little breakfast in the morning. She said, how about 2 fried bologna sandwiches?
Oh, God.
I said, what did you just say to me? She said, yeah, I'll fry the bologna. I'll put it on the bread. Then I'll fry the bread like grilled cheese.
Yeah.
And I'll give it to you in the form of a sandwich. What the fuck is going on? I'm trying to ruin my life. So I had 2 sandwiches. They were delicious.
That's that good shit, man.
I said, I got cherry Coke in here. You want that? I said, no, I'll have diet or water. Even though I haven't been drinking any diet soda at all. He said, I got root beer. I said, yeah, I'll take that. So it was a bad night. Had an off night.
You know what?
I survived, though.
You came a long way, so, you know, it's a little setback is okay.
I got back on it today.
Good deal. See?
Man, good.
I knew you would.
Good bologna sandwiches.
You have to appreciate, like, you have to get all the good stuff taken away before you can appreciate what was.
Yes. Bologna.
Bologna.
You eat fried, for a week for $2.
Fried bologna sandwich. Fried bologna grilled cheese is pretty much.
I went to Rob's house over the weekend. I was like, what are you eating? He's like, there's a hillbilly sandwich. I don't know what he said. But it was like it was a fucking hunk of bologna and like cheese.
It was bologna, cheese. So it was a double stack bologna sandwich without bread.
It was huge. It just looked like a fucking slab of bologna.
Keto life, man. It's fucking great.
Get after it, boy. Get after it, boy. Boss mama, color street nails.
let me say this. Bologna gets shit on pretty fucking hard.
It's, yeah.
Who doesn't like hot dog pancakes? I mean, that's what it is. It's a hot dog pancake.
Yeah.
But I mean, it's, you can eat it. It's so good.
It is delicious.
It's so good.
I love bologna. I was raised on bologna and Spam.
People shit on it, man, like it's white trash and stuff, but hey.
We would, we'd have dinner when I was a kid. I'd say, what's for dinner? My dad'd be like, we're having Spam animals, which my mom was cooking Spam and cheese. It's good shit, man. We weren't poor, we weren't rich, but we ate that shit.
Yeah.
Fuck it.
I think I've had Spam once, but and I didn't hate it. Vienna sausages, fuck yeah.
Those are good.
It's comforting.
I've never had them.
They're so good.
I've never tried them.
You just have to scrape the jelly off the top of them, but besides that, they're really good. Dude, they're really good.
The sludge.
Yeah.
The blubber.
Yeah, it is. You got to drain them and get the fucking jelly off of it that preserves it. They're good. And it makes me, you know, feel better about myself.
Here you go. Here's the next one for you.
A man beat his head against his coffin in efforts to be heard. I've been there before. So one fearful story of premature burial comes from a pamphlet entitled The Most Lamentable and Deplorable Accident. A London butcher named Lawrence Cawthorn.
That sounds like someone that would be buried alive, doesn't it? Yes,
it really does. Fell fatally ill in 1661, and his landlady, man, fucking people, what do people do in 1600s have a landlady?
What a bitch, was, too. What do you read about her?
Was eager for his swift demise so that she could inherit his belongings. Oh, God, what a bitch.
I know, she, I told you.
She saw to it that he was quickly pronounced dead without a doctor's consultation and buried at a nearby chapel. Now, not long after his entombment, visitors and mourners heard screams and and shrieks.
Okay.
Catch your breath. You gotta get. You gotta deliver the shrieks here.
Can't do any more. That was pretty good.
Okay. Coming from the grave. I couldn't do it as long as you because I wasn't expecting you to do it. When they dug him up, he had passed, but Cawthorn's shroud was completely shredded. His eyes were swollen and his head was bloodied from where he'd beaten it against the coffin.
I would beat off one last time if I were down there.
You have to come to think straight.
It's the only way I can fall asleep.
Man, I really want to get out of here, but I also want to come.
Yeah.
What do I do?
That's the kind of irresponsible decisions that you and I would make. Live or beat off? I'm beating off.
All this punching is making my dick hard.
Yeah. Oh, and they're like, what happened down there? I started rolling around, created a lot of friction on my genitalia, so I couldn't do nothing but give her a good wank.
One thing you never hear is how tight coffins are. A lid rubs right against your wiener.
They make some really nice ones, too. And we just, you know, recently had to go through the process with her grandfather and everything. Mm-hmm. And they were saying, well, we can get you a real nice waterproof one. And they legitimately try and upsell caskets to you. It's your fucking weakest point ever.
Yeah.
Because all you can think about is, God, I just want to keep my loved one comfortable.
Mm-hmm.
Dead.
Yeah.
They're gone. They don't feel anything.
No, no.
Your soul has moved on to a different place. It's just a shell. Why do you have to pay $2,000 extra for a waterproof casket?
That's why I just want to be burnt up.
Wrap me up in saran wrap. I know a guy that used to put saran wrap on his dick in high school because he didn't have enough money for condoms.
I did too.
His name was Rob. Did you really do that?
No. Oh, I know someone who did that.
I thought you were telling me you were the guy that did it.
No. He ended up with a kid our junior year.
He did. He did.
It was the same kid.
Ran out of saran wrap.
saran wrap. You got to make sure you get all of those fucking, all them creases and crevices.
Nooks and crannies right there.
Oh, yeah.
It's impossible if you're circumcised. You can't do it. So don't even think about it. You got to be uncircumcised for this operation.
No. I never do that, but...
Saran wrap on your dick.
I wouldn't even pull my dick out of my pants unless I had a condom in it and back in high school.
Oh, hold on a second. I got to fill this thing up. Like a clown blowing up balloon animals at the circus.
Yeah.
I got to wait to fill this thing up. All right, next up's the shoemaker. Oh. In 1822, Nazi Germany, a 40-year-old German shoemaker... It wasn't Nazi Germany.
Not yet.
A 40-year-old German shoemaker was laid to rest, but there were some questions about his death from the start. Although the shoemaker's family confirmed his passing, he looked dead.
No.
They said no one could detect any stench or rigidity in the cadaver. He was not... He wasn't getting the rigor mortis after he died.
Yeah.
They said, no matter how long he lays here dead, he's still warm. He doesn't stink.
Penis is still small.
That wouldn't be me. I've been dead for 10 minutes. Like, he smells like fucking shit. Already he smells awful.
He keeps moaning when he farts.
Yeah, he keeps on shitting on his pussy. Still, the funeral went on as planned. But as the grave digger was dispersing the last shovels full of dirt onto the grave, he heard a knocking from below. Reversing his process and now removing the earth as quickly as possible, the grave digger found the shoemaker moving inside his coffin. His arms were drawn upward. He wasn't cold. And when an attending physician opened a vein, blood flowed all over the shroud. Over the course of 3 days, resuscitation attempts were made, but all efforts were fruitless. Shoemaker was declared dead once more and laid to rest for a second and final time. Man. Creepy, Rob.
Very creepy.
If I was a shoemaker, I'd probably want to be fucking dead too. Shoes stink.
they can.
They're the worst.
Yeah.
What about that guy that did the shoey over the weekend in the UFC? That guy.
Love him. Love him. He's one of my favorites. That's like his thing. He always does shoeys.
So he knocks you the fuck out, and he climbs up on the cage with a shoe, he dumps a beer into the shoe, and then he drinks the beer out of the shoe after the fight.
And so not only does he... I'm completely blanking on his name. It's like fucking Matatui or something like that.
Till Tatatu.
So not only does he do that right at the end... Tuivasa, there you go.
Tuivasa.
He's from Australia.
He is.
And he did like three shoeys on the way out with just random fans.
Yeah. COVID's live and well. There's a Delta variant. It's killing everybody. The whole world's like, we're just going to keep on rocking and rolling.
And you got Tuivasa out there doing shoeys with randoms out in the crowd. Bless his heart. I love that dude. Yeah, we didn't talk about that too much. But yeah, we watched the fights this weekend, and it was fun and sad at the same time.
We spent the whole night together.
We did. It wasn't sad. I mean, us hanging out, it wasn't sad, but...
Smoked pot.
The events of the main event was sad.
It was good.
Very sad.
Tell me about Essie.
Let's go into Essie here. I mean, let's talk about Essie, I should say.
Let's not go into anyone, Rob.
Yeah. So in 1915, a 30-year-old South Carolinian named Essie Dunbar suffered a fatal attack of epilepsy. Or so... everyone thought. After declaring her dead, doctors placed Dunbar's body in a coffin and scheduled her funeral for the next day so that her sister, who lived out of town, would still be able to pay respects.
Amazing. I'm gonna stop singing because I'm not trying to get copyrighted again. We'll be on our last strike with YouTube.
We'll get it, yeah. But Dunbar's sister didn't travel fast enough. She arrived... Oh my God, what did you just do? Okay, she arrived only to see the last clods of dirt thrown atop the grave. This didn't sit well with Dunbar's sister, who wanted to see Essie one last time. She ordered that the body be removed. And when the coffin lid was opened, Essie sat up and smiled all around her. She lived after this for another 47 years. My first instinct would not be to smile if I was just
buried. Definitely a fucking crayon eater. I'm sorry, back then she was a wax eater.
She ate pottery.
She sat there and ate fucking paper and shit.
Mud.
Sat up and smiled.
Hey.
Yeah, gotcha.
Holy shit.
My favorite flavored popsicle is potato. Old Essie. We got to find her gravestone.
Yeah, we do.
Got piss on that bitch for good luck. Marjorie McCall. Anyone with the name Marjorie's got a big old bush. Marjorie. If you're worried about being buried alive, you might start walking around with a lot of flashy jewelry on display. That strategy worked for Marjorie McCall back in 1695.
Damn.
As reported by BBC News, McCall's grave in Belfast sports an unusual note. It says, lived once, buried twice.
Damn. That's
fucking tough-ass shit right there. Like, yeah,
that's some trucker shit.
McCall. She's a trucker, bitch.
Back in the 1600s.
Oh, women's bathrooms all full. So I went there one of them years. I pulled my dick out and started pissing all over the fucking place. I don't fucking care about this place. McCall caught a fever, and in the late 17th century, a fever was a lot more dangerous than it is today.
Yeah, fucking weak-ass humans back then, man.
When her condition declined rapidly and she stopped being responsive, everyone simply assumed she was done trucking and she was dead. Her family quickly organized a GoFundMe. No.
What do you think, this is a serious question, what do you think fucking changed in our evolution?
Science.
But I mean, what?
Science, you're fucking smarter than this, dude. Go on.
No, but for real, so many fucking people died of the flu. I mean, what?
They didn't know how to treat it.
I guess, man.
They just didn't know. We have cell phones that can take our fucking blood pressure now.
I guess it's true.
And you're like, I didn't get my flu. What day bad do you die from? They used to eat raw food that would kill them.
True.
You just live and you learn, buddy.
Maybe that's what, that's what it is.
You remember the first time you dry humped in jeans? Probably wore the skin off your dick. And you said to yourself, self, I'm never doing that again. You live and you learn. The first time feels kind of good, feels kind of nice, makes you feel good on the inside. Second time, you're like, not fucking doing this. Still got scabs on the head of my wiener. Not doing it. Dry humping in jeans.
Makes sense.
Liken it to medical advancements in terms of treating the flu.
Maybe 200 years from now, people will be thinking about the same thing about COVID.
Back then, they didn't have Campbell's soup and Price is Right. So how the fuck are you supposed to recover from anything without Campbell's soup and Sprite and the Price is Right?
They didn't eat their vitamins and say their prayers.
Listen here, brother. Live once, buried twice.
Oh, so she declined rapidly and she stopped being responsive. Everyone simply assumed she was dead. Her family quickly organized a funeral and buried her. According to the MyHeritage blog, McCall was buried wearing a very valuable ring that she often spotted, and that detail didn't escape the attention of local thieves who made their living robbing recent graves. Shortly after McCall was in the ground, the thieves came and dug her up.
Ah.
They tried to remove the ring from her finger, but it wouldn't budge. So they prepared to cut off her finger in order to get it.
Jesus. Damn.
I'm going to give me that ring. I'm going to give me that fudge ring between your butt cheeks.
So another serious question. Well, but not really.
Fudge rings are delicious. What is,
fudge rounds.
Whatever.
So... what would it take you to burglarize a grave?
Ooh-wee. Because I give up easy on stuff. I'm not very...
If you know they went into the grave with something.
If it requires
let's
a
talk
lot
about
of
worth.
Physically intensive labor...
You're shovel digging 6 feet deep.
11 minutes I'm giving up. If I'm not down to the goods in 11 minutes, I'm probably giving up. Unless it's like a life-altering amount of money.
Sure.
If they say, we just buried this man with $20 million.
Yeah, if you're going down with like the rose on the Titanic necklace.
Yeah. probably like if I just knew it was cash and there was no, probably $1 million.
That's respectable.
Yeah, $1,999,000.
Sure.
900,999 is what I meant to say. Nonetheless, I'm getting busy.
Sure.
I'm going to go to Ace Hardware, buy me a banging-ass shovel. Not a snow shovel, because you can't dig up graves with a goddamn snow shovel.
That's very true.
One of them pointy motherfuckers.
Yeah.
I'm going to go to a rental place. I'm going to rent a fucking backhoe. You didn't tell me how I have to dig it up.
That's true. I didn't.
I can dig it up in 30 you kinda, seconds.
You kind of want to be discreet, though, if you're at midnight with a backhoe in a cemetery.
Meep.
What would Cemetery Terry do if he ran across a backhoe in a cemetery late at night?
He said, I was up there, I saw them burying them boys. I said, I got up by that boy. I can't even close the goddamn casket. He got so much cash up inside that casket. I said, oh boy, you're going to have all kinds of people up here trying to get into that ass to try to get that cash. So I said, it's my job, it's my duty to keep out the pootie. I set out the booby traps all over this place. Them boys be walking up in your state like, oh, we gonna get the money. Oh, we gonna get the money. I said, hell no, boy. You gonna step on one of these booby traps. These nipples gonna pop out and slap you all across the face. Then they gonna be like, oh, goddamn, Cemetery Terry. Don't you know about $2.5 million down in there? I said, I know, boy. I respect the dead, boy. Get the fuck up out of my cemetery. Cemetery Terry, he don't be fucking around. Some people say, Cemetery Terry, what cemetery you be working in? I said, Cemetery Terry be up in our side of all them cemeteries. All of them.
Everyone.
Booby traps. All of them.
Everywhere. Nipples all up in your face.
Blasting you with the nipples.
Sorry.
So McCall was buried wearing a very valuable ring that she often sported. And that detail didn't escape the attention of local thieves who made their living robbing recent graves. Shortly after McCall was in the ground, the thieves came and dug her up. They tried to remove the goddamn ring from her finger, but it wouldn't budge. So they prepared to cut off her finger in order to get to it. That's when McCall woke up and screamed. She scared him off. She apparently climbed out of the coffin, went home, and nearly scared her husband to death. She had another child and lived 10 more years, being buried for one last time in 1705.
Ooh, this looks good, this next part.
This is from the dark webs.
This is from Kill Bill right here.
We got you all scared up to this point. You're thinking, I don't
want to be buried alive.
Ever want to be buried while I'm still living. And you're thinking to yourself, you're alone, you're scared, no one has your back. I know what it feels like to feel like no one has your back. Well, tonight, the Bros of Brahio.
We got you.
We have your backside.
We got you, baby boo.
We have the instructions how to escape after being buried alive inside of a coffin.
This is the stuff you need to know, because you never know when you could get buried inside of a coffin.
This is a fucking, let's see here. Oh my God. Why is it doing this?
Oh now? No. You know what other, speaking of which, while you're doing this, you know what other irrational fear, like this has been one of the irrational fears that I've had is being buried alive. It just seems terrifying. The other one that I've always thought about, but I've never even heard of this happening, quicksand. What the fuck happened to all the quicksand? When I was a kid, I literally thought that I was going to run into quicksand everywhere that I went.
Yeah. I watched a lot of Aladdin growing up, and I thought, God damn, I had a lot of shit mapped out in my junior year of high school. They said, what do you want to be? I said, still trying to figure out what the fuck I'm going to do with all the quicksand. I don't know what I want to be when I grow up. I have real world goddamn problems that I'm trying to take care of right now, you right. silly bastard.
Yeah.
Phil Ratterman, you heavy breathing fuckhead.
He really did.
Man.
Just called him out.
You think he's still alive?
Sure.
Look him up on Definitely. Facebook.
But yeah, man, I thought my adult life when I was younger would consist of a lot more quicksand than what it currently does.
Yeah.
And it currently involves a zero quicksand.
I don't think I've ever... Yeah, I have encountered it before. When I was doing like the underground drilling exploration stuff. Yeah, I definitely...
I'm sure Australia has quicksand because those fuckers have everything.
They have everything.
They got cool kangaroos that wade out in the water just for you to come out to save them and they drown you. Yeah. Fucking crazy bastards.
All right, how to escape after being buried alive in a coffin. Step one, do not waste oxygen.
Yes.
In a classic coffin, there's only enough oxygen for about an hour, maybe two. Inhale deeply, exhale very slowly. Once inhaled, do not swallow. Listen here, you fucking sluts. Don't swallow or you'll start to hyperventilate.
Don't do that.
Do not light up lighters or matches.
Ugh.
They will waste your oxygen. Yeah. Using a flashlight is allowed. Screaming increases anxiety, which causes increased heartbeat and therefore waste of oxygen. So don't scream. Rob, take us to step two.
Step two, shake up the lid with your hands. In some cheap, low-quality coffins, you will be able to even make a hole with an engagement ring or a belt buckle if you do have one.
Another reason to not spend the extra money on an expensive-ass casket, because in case they are still alive and they claw their way out of that motherfucker, they can get out. Step three, cross your arms over your chest and fart hard as fuck. No. Cross your arms over your chest, holding onto your shoulders with your hands. This sounds kinky. And pull the shirt off upward. Tie it in a knot above your head like so. And it looks like someone fucking...
someone has their head up a turkey's ass.
Yeah, it looks like a turkey's ass right here.
Here you go. The, there you go.
Yeah, there it is.
So, hopefully you guys can see that.
Yeah, they can definitely see it.
Okay. It definitely right looks like your head's up a turkey's ass.
Yeah, yeah. There's a lot going on right here, Rob. There's, you got to pull that up over your head for what's about to happen next. This will prevent you from suffocating when the dirt falls in on your face.
Okay.
Step four, Rob.
Once you break through, that makes sense. So step four, kick the lid with your legs. In some cheap coffins, the lid is broken or damaged already after being buried due to the weight of the ground above it.
I never thought of that.
That makes sense.
Getting fucking crushed as soon as you're down there.
Yeah.
Amazing grace. As soon as the lid breaks, throw and move the dirt that falls through in the direction of your feet. When it takes up a lot of space, try pressing the ground to the sides of the coffin with your legs and feet. Move around for a bit. Give them step six.
Step six. Whatever you do, your main goal is to sit up. Dirt will fill the empty space and move to your advantage. So no matter what, do not stop and try breathing steadily and calmly.
Number seven, get up. Remember, the dirt in the grave is very loose, so battling your way up will be easier than it seems. It's the other way around during a rainy weather, however, since water makes dirt heavy and sticky. That's what you got to do. If you ever find yourself being buried alive, really take a look at the people in your fucking life who you're probably selling Color Street nails, probably selling dildos and Tupperware. They don't care enough about you to make sure you're even dead before they bury you.
Man.
Make sure you got good people in your life. Make sure you live life to the fullest, though when you finally turn the lights off for good, you can say...
Yeah, there's no doubt.
You can say, I had a good fucking life. I did good. Just like...
Did I do good?
Just like George Bush.
Oh, God.
When he died, he said, I lived a fucking horrible life. Hurt a lot of kids.
Hurt fucked a lot more.
Hurt a lot of people. That's it. How long was this episode, Rob?
I have no fucking idea. An hour.
23 minutes. I was thinking we might be able to get 40 minutes out of this.
Hell yeah. Look at us, man.
We killed it. In the beginning, pinch the nipples.
Yep.
To make sure they're still alive. We're still here.
Uh-huh.
We're very much alive.
I'm good.
Mashed potatoes. We're very much still alive. Thanks for tuning into this episode of the Brohio Podcast. We're going to be live in August. If you want to come see us, God damn it, come fucking see us.
Let us see your beautiful faces
in person. We want to see you.
We will tongue kiss everyone that shows up.
Rob will. I have a reputation to uphold.
That's true.
I can speak for Jerry Pauly as well. He will engage with coitus with anybody.
Yeah.
Cat, dog, mammal, camel, it doesn't matter. If the game is on, he is playing. You know what I'm saying?
I know what you're saying.
Next up, we have the 2021 Home Run Derby tonight with no one from the Cincinnati Reds, even though tomorrow night there's two Cincinnati Reds starting in the outfield for the National League All-Star team.
Woo!
This coming Sunday, we have July 18th, WWE Money in the Bank.
Oh, yeah.
In the main event, John Morrison. Big E, Seth Rollins.
Damn, Big E pushed himself to a main event?
Kevin Owens. Like six of them in a fucking ladder match. I don't know.
Oh, it's a ladder match? Okay.
For the title, Edge versus Roman Reigns. Drew McIntyre in the main event. Bobby Lashley. They're all going to be there.
Hell yeah.
Yeah.
Not Braun Strowman.
Watch it with us. We should watch that stuff and do a live stream.
I would love to.
I don't know. We'll probably get fucking banned for that one, too.
I think as long as you don't show the video on stream, you're fine.
Fuck you.
Because they do the fight companion, and they fucking watch the MMA fights, and they just don't show the video. They just react to it.
Who owns Google? Mark McGrath or some shit like that?
Yeah.
Fuck you, Sugar Ray.
Yeah.
You fucking fuck. Take us down.
My wife was talking about this weekend how bad his plastic surgery is.
Yeah, it's botched.
Like, he looks scary.
Yeah. It looks like they stretched his face over one of them fucking Halloween skulls.
Our wives did get to meet Alexa Bliss this weekend, and I'm highly jealous about that.
She's good.
Yeah, she's a babe. Love her.
She's a good wrestler, too.
Yeah, she is. She's the best.
She's from Ohio.
Columbus, baby.
All right, guys. Thanks for listening to this episode.
We love you guys.
We love you. We'll see you guys. Yeah. Make sure we're still alive.